Okay, once again, I'm calling the meeting to order at 8:18 p.m. Roll call, Kim Laird, Chair, is present. Kevin Axtell, absent. Matt Hall?
Present.
Richard Kennison?
Present.
Kevin McBeth?
Present.
Tom Wall?
Present.
Aaron Stevens is absent. Brandy Axtell, Recording Secretary, is absent. Mike Sullivan?
Present.
Thank you, Mike. Martin Frost, Communications Director. Is there anyone that I missed? Anyone here that I didn't call? Okay. First off, we need, I'm sorry, is Marilyn on the line as well?
No, she's not going to make it tonight, Kim. But
okay,
she has no change. She has no changes from her report she submitted.
Okay, thank you. First thing we have to do is approve the agenda for this evening. There is one change to the agenda that Mike requested, the motion to approve Bowling Green State University. We would like to remove that from this evening's agenda. And since it was not made as a formal motion yet, we can just remove that. So do we have a motion to approve the agenda minus the Bowling Green motion?
I'll make that motion. This is Tom.
Do we have a second, please?
Seconded, Matt.
Okay. Anyone opposed? Any abstentions? The agenda is approved for tonight. Gang, I have to apologize on behalf of Brandy. She did not get the April 27th minutes put together. So if no one disapproves of this, I would like to table the approval of the April 27th minutes. Do we have somebody to make a motion to table those minutes?
This is Matt, so moved.
Okay. Second, please.
I'll second. This is Tom.
Thank you, Tom.
Yep.
Okay. Since we're moving past the approval of the minutes, we'll go right into the reports. Mike, 2011 FEST report.
Okay, Kim, thank you. And I hope everybody got my written report earlier today. Basically, we're 61 days from the start of our festival. It starts on the 18th of July, 2 months from today. On the revenue side, we're below where I would like to be, and both registrations and hotel bookings are worrying me right now. We have 250 packages sold, a normal number of comps are in the system, and we have sold a very small number of a la carte items, indicating that people are planning to come to the festival who aren't buying packages. They're just coming for a few days. I was concerned enough about that to ask around and don't really know what to think. My good friend Bob Newman was at the Flatland Festival over the weekend. He says that virtually every single person he talked to said they were coming to Rochester, but virtually none of them had registered yet. So I don't know what to make of that. I think people are just waiting because of the economy, gas prices, and whatever else. A lot of people might be sitting on the sidelines not wanting to commit to registering for a festival. The only big thing coming up that we are with a hard deadline on is the release of our room blocks on June 26th, about 5 weeks from now. We really want to push to get our room block sales goal met at the DoubleTree. Right now, we're about three-quarters of the way there. We're at 72% sold at the DoubleTree. However, 14 room nights each night at the DoubleTree are rooms that we've reserved and are paying for ourselves. So if we take those out, we're much closer to about 58%, or about halfway towards where we want to be at the DoubleTree. We need to make 90% of our room block at the DoubleTree, or we lose a lot of free room nights that we are counting on to house our special guests. And if we have to pay for all of those rooms, it's going to add a lot to the expense side of the budget. So that's a big concern, and I'm looking for any ideas that people might have on an incentive that we can do to get people to register in the next couple of weeks and to make hotel reservations. I put one idea here in the report about a free T-shirt, but I realized almost as soon as I sent it that that was really not something that's going to get someone to make a reservation. So if anybody has any ideas, I'd be happy to hear them. I think, Kim, if you can add to this, our experience last year in Sparks was the same. We were in the midst of a deep recession. We had very low pre-sales for packages, and yet we had a lot of people show up at the festival who hadn't bought a thing before they got there, and we wound up taking in a lot of money on-site at the fest, and that made the fest profitable. Would you say that's your recollection?
Yes, very much so, because I remember being very, very nervous before the fest that we would even make expenses, that we would even break even.
Right.
And we ended up making a decent sum at the end in profit, but nowhere near what we could make if the economy were much, much better.
Yeah.
It seemed like people were waiting just to see where they were economically, as well as who they could hook up with to share expenses.
Right. I think also something working against us with Rochester, we have an embarrassment of riches in Rochester, and that is there are so many hotels near downtown that are not our official hotels that are perfectly suitable and lower priced than our official hotels. So I have no doubt that a lot of jugglers that we don't even know about yet have reserved rooms at other hotels. It doesn't help us make our room blocks when those people do that, but of course when they come to the festival and either buy a package or pay for a la carte items, that works very well for us. So our big financial risk right now is not making the hotel block. I don't know if we're going to make it or not. I think it's going to be close, and that's my biggest concern right now. On the expense side, as I mentioned in the report, we're having a great many overseas guests coming in as special guests, and that's leading to a lot higher airfare expense than I had anticipated a year ago when I put the budget together. So I think it'll be close, but we will be higher than I would like and certainly higher than I budgeted for on guest travel. It's not a budget buster as long as we keep all of our other expenses in line, and they are, and we're actually below budget on every single item except this one. I'm in a big crunch time right now to get a whole bunch of things going, and I won't bore you with all of them, but there's a lot of long lead time items that have to be done in the next week or two. We have some great artwork already being made for the festival that I think everybody will enjoy having on their T-shirts and some other items. And I'm working with the team in Rochester on all the things that are going to go together to make our festival happen. So glad to have everyone's help and cooperation, and I think we'll have a great fest no matter how many people show up. And that's my report. I attached the room pickup tracker that you can look at if you're interested, and I'd be happy to take any questions.
Mike, this is Matt.
Mm-hmm.
One comment and one question. As far as the numbers go, I honestly, like Tim said, I honestly don't think there's going to be too much we can do to induce people to spend, you know, a couple thousand past what we've already done in terms of putting out what we're offering. The same thing with workshops. This year for workshops, I'm low. This time last year, I mean, even though I got started late, once I put out the various notices and emails to people individually, even mailing people directly, which I'm still doing, just people are not getting back to me. So I'm going to keep bugging people and try and get the workshop squared away. Now, that was speaking of workshops. Question. The map that you sent Slam in, I had downloaded previously. And I wanted to confirm the workshop areas with you just to make sure.
Sure.
I've got it right in front of me. Are we looking at suites A through E?
Matt, your main workshop suites are the four what are called Mayo Civic Center suites, which are at the left center of your diagram, and they're named Elliott Suite, Legion Suite.
Oh, okay, I see. I'm got you.
And Mayo Suite.
Right.
Those are four identical rooms on two floors. They're right down the hall from the gym. Those are your main, the four main workshop spaces.
Gotcha. Two on one floor, two on another, yes?
Correct. Two upstairs.
There's white lines on these. Does that mean they can be divided into subrooms?
Yes, they can be. There are air walls on each one, so they can be divided.
Okay, cool.
So if you had hall workshops and you wanted to split a room or a couple of rooms, that can be easily done. We've also rented the Riverview suites A through C, and I don't have plans for two of them, but I do have plans for suite C, and those are at the lower right corner of your diagram.
Yeah, I see that. Yeah.
Taylor Arena. Mm-hmm.
Where will Stefan Zing be conducting his workshop?
I am most likely going to put him into suite A or B. Right now he has six people registered.
Gotcha. And then did we want to put Dan somewhere as well in A or B, or do we want to use one of the Legion, Elliott, or McDonald?
I'm probably going to ask Dan to hold his workshop in a hotel meeting room, which we will get for free.
Gotcha. Okay.
And if that's okay with him, that would be my preference. But if he wants to be in the Civic Center, then we'll probably we may have to work with you to divide one of those Civic Center suites and have him in there.
Okay. Yeah. I looking at what we've got so far, 1, 2, 3, 4. I think it wouldn't be a bad idea just to divide the Legion and Elliott suites, and then we've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 rooms to play with.
Correct. Okay. That's no problem. They can do that for us on a minute's notice, and if that's what you decide to do, just let me know, and they'll have it set up that way.
Okay. Yeah, let's put that to bed right now. I would like that to be done. That way I know
okay.
how many rooms I'm working with precisely.
Okay, so tell me again which two you want to subdivide.
Why don't we do let's see. Legion and McDonald are on one floor, yes? And then Mayo and Elliott on the second floor, yes?
Yes, and I believe, and from looking at the diagram, that Legion and McDonald are on the ground floor.
Okay. Then why don't we divide Mayo and Elliott?
Okay, got it. Okay, so you now have six meeting rooms, four little ones and two big ones at the Mayo Civic Center suites area.
Gotcha. Yeah.
Okay, done deal.
Thank you.
Anyone else?
I'm just
okay.
curious about what we're going to do about the room night thing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, are we going to advertise or, like, make posts saying that it would help us immensely if people were to, you know, check out those certain rooms? Because I'm sure that a lot of people just don't know. I mean, if you look at some of the stuff that other groups do, specifically, like, the WJF, they, in all of their... In all their correspondences, they say which places they need people to have hotel rooms checked out in. And I'm going to get a
very large blurb together for the next e-news, which I hope goes out before the end of the month this month, Tom, and also ask Martin to do a separate email blast before or after e-news so that people get the message twice.
Sure, yeah. If you want me to throw anything on Facebook, just let me know.
Okay. That can't hurt, so let me write something up and get that to you when we do that.
And I know I did that last year as well, and it seemed like the room reservations did pick up after you know, posting on the forum and sending it out in the e-newsletter and that.
Okay, good. I think it's also possible that since we didn't do a printed brochure this year or last year, that a lot of people just isn't on their radar unless they have something physical that lands in their mailbox that tells them to register for the festival. And, you know, that was the pattern last year, and it is this year when we didn't do a physical brochure that went out with Juggle Magazine or separately with all the festival details in it.
Well,
a possibility.
Mike, how much would it run us approximately, and you may not know this, to send out a postcard?
Well, it's about 44 cents each, and then we'd have to multiply by how many hundreds or thousands we want to send out. So it could be a lot of money. It could be $500 or $1,000, depending on how far back in our email list we want to go. But I've thought about it, and I think I'll probably decide to do that in the next couple of weeks and then just work with Marilyn to select a good group of likely people from our list.
Okay.
And I'll pay for that out of a fest budget for promotion or something like that that I've got. Those take about a week to 10 days to land in people's mailboxes, and we'd have to do that in the next 2 weeks in order to beat the June 26th deadline. So I'll have to do that pretty quick if it's going to happen.
Yeah, and that's the only reason I mentioned it, because I do know it takes a while to get in people's mailboxes, but yet at the same time, it's probably going to be the most timely way to get the information out there out of all of our options.
Well, it's something that's a little harder to ignore than an email, so I'm certainly strongly considering doing it. And it, you know, if we only get three or four extra people to register based on it, then it's paid for itself.
Right. Okay. Any other questions for Mike? All right. If not, thank you, Mike. Matt, is there anything from the Fund Committee at this point?
Well, I don't know. In terms of, has Len Furman or anybody might come to you and said, hey, I need that money. I'm gonna start making moves with it. They certainly have been notified that they have the money.
Yeah. A couple of the Fund Committee people are asking about how they're going to pay for the things they need to order or buy. So far we've had an answer for everybody, but I would like to be able to tell them that we could pay for things now and not have to have them front it personally until they get reimbursed at the festival. Do you think we can do that somehow, Kim and or Matt?
I think we possibly can, as long as they're making a purchase that can be put on the debit card. And
the debit card that I have or the new one that you have?
Either one. We would just designate one of them, and then as the money is spent, that money would be replenished from the actual fund that's set up separately.
So you have, Kim, the debit card that is hooked into the fund bank account?
The problem there is the manager who was getting all that paperwork together for me left Bank of America, and I found it out way too late. She is no longer there, and I did go and ask for that paperwork to be started, but I don't know when that might come through. So I have a debit card that's just set up to the general fund, and that's what I can use for the time being, and then we can move the money electronically.
Okay. Well, I do, too. I mean, I have the same kind of debit card coming out of the same general account. So if it came to it, either one of us could use that to pay for things from people.
Right.
And I'll offer that as a option if it comes up. But so far, Matt, nobody's actually said I've got a bill here that needs to be paid.
Okay. Yeah, when we met with the fund, when I talked to those guys, you know, I put the idea forth that whenever possible, if you can cover it yourself and then bring the receipts and get reimbursed, that's fine. Obviously, if it's something huge,
and they need to talk to you, Mike. And everybody can have no problem with that. Slammin's starting to make moves on the gauntlet. The emails been going back and forth and where we're going to put it and how much square footage he needs. So as long as when he gets back to you, Mike, I'm sure I'll see that in email. But otherwise, we're good.
Okay, super.
One more question on the fun. Remember that part of the fun was giving small honorariums to the VIP guests. How will that be accomplished exactly? Just so in case somebody asks me. I mean, I ran into I was in Britain and in Israel with Stefan Singh and his wife Christiana, and I mentioned that there would be an honorarium, and they were like, "Oh, that's great, thank you." But we didn't talk about it. But just in case they had asked me, I realized, "Oh, wait, I don't even know how we're going to go about giving them the honorarium."
Well, it would be a check so that there's an audit trail, and if we can decide ahead of time how much that'll be, I'm sure Kim or Kevin could write all those out and have them ready when we get to Rochester.
Okay. Yeah, I can do that, no problem. I know who the VIPs are, and I can do the numbers.
Okay. And just so you remember, Matt, already in my fest budget was a $250 per special guest stipend for their personal expenses, food, and so on,
right,
in exchange for their coming to our fest. So they're already getting $250 from the IJA. And the honorarium, I'm calling it a stipend against expenses so that they don't actually lose money coming to perform for us. And then your honorarium would be just that, which would be over and above.
Yeah, on top.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
I think that's great. Is that Kevin?
Yes. So one comment on having me write people checks. If you could let me know ahead of the festival a list of people I'll need to write checks to so that I can make sure I actually get in touch with them at the festival. Because I know last time there were a few people who I never got in touch with before the end of the festival. So it'd be good to have. Also,
I've already got a list started of checks I know we'll need to write at the fest, Kevin. And once Matt gets a list to me, we can combine all that. We could probably even have the checks as part of their registration packet when they get to the IJA table during the week.
Right. That would actually be absolutely great because it's tough to write 100 some checks during the week. And it's also good because I'll have enough checks with me to write them.
Right. Right. It won't be anywhere near 100. It'll be more like 15 or 20, I would guess.
Well, I wrote 60 checks last year.
Yep.
That includes championship checks. And
championships and prop competitions and all the other things, too.
Yeah.
So.
Okay. Yeah, I wasn't thinking of those.
Speaking of number of checks, the 250, Mike, that you've allocated for their, per diem, so to speak, mm-hmm. that will be a separate check apart from the honorarium?
I think it should be, but that's up to Kevin because that comes from fest expenses and the honorarium should come from fun fund.
Separate checks.
Separate checks.
It would have to be separate checks. Yeah.
The reason I also ask is because several of these folks are coming from Europe, Russia, and so forth, and may have a problem. Like, say, for example, if we give them $250 against expenses, but some of them might come here and need that money right away
We can cash their check for them, Matt, out of the IJA cash register.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we can do that?
Yeah, on most days we have enough cash in the register to cash their check on the spot.
Gotcha. Just checking.
I mean,
we've even done that for
championship winners who have won $1,000 or something like that. We're able to cash it on most days.
Gotcha. Okay, just checking. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, any other questions?
You got the checks right.
Any other questions for Matt? If not, Mike, future fests?
Yes, thank you, Kim. I am behind in submitting my written report for Lexington and also for Richmond, Virginia. I want the board to have the reports for both Bowling Green and Richmond and Lexington when we get into Rochester and before any decision is taken on 2013. I hope by the time we meet in Rochester, we'll have enough information to make a good decision for 2013. I'm also sure that Rochester is going to want us to come back, and either at the festival or right before the festival, they will give us a proposal to return. Now, I think the sentiment of the board and the membership is that we wouldn't want to return to Rochester in 2013. And so we should try and steer Rochester to make their proposal for a later year. And if that's true, then what we'll have are solid proposals from at least three cities: Lexington, which I think is a very strong proposal, Bowling Green, which you've already read, and Richmond, which I think has some great benefits, but is probably too expensive and too big a city for us. You'll be able to make up your own minds about that once you read my report about Richmond. And that's it for Future Fest right now. As always, we have the luxury of many cities vying for our attention and business, and we're able to choose from a good list of prospects. So I think by the time we get to the Rochester convention and have our meeting, the board will have at least three good choices to make for 2013.
Okay. Thank you very much, Mike. Any questions for Mike on Future Fest? All right. If not, Kevin, anything on the financial front?
Hello. So Holly and I talked as I was reviewing the 990 this weekend, and we're actually going to have the accountant who reviewed the financial statements review it sometime this week, just because I'd like a CPA to review it before I sign off on it. So we filed for an extension Saturday evening, and it got approved, and we should have it filed in the next couple of weeks. So, and then also the 2010 financial statements are up on the website, and the 2011 quarter one financial statements are up on the website. So go read them at your own leisure.
Thanks, Kevin.
Any questions?
All right. There are no questions for Kevin. Thank you, Kevin. Website team.
Yeah, well, that's me, I think, again, Kim. And I'm
yes, it is.
I'm happy to report that as of today, our donor has approved the funding of the consulting project for the selection, qualification and selection of a new association management system for the IJA. And we have already selected the consultant and accepted his proposal. And what we're going to be doing is after the fest, starting August 15th, just because we're all going to be too busy before then, we will enter into a one-month unlimited labor contracting relationship with this fellow, Wes Troschel, who Aaron and I both think is very well qualified. He's going to interview Martin, myself, and David and take input from any members of the board and help us come to a good, better, best type of selection for AMS packages that we could then implement. We are paying him, I think, a very modest amount for this expert work. And when we're done with that, then we will have the good, better, best scenario in front of us. We'll be able to look at it individually and decide what we like and don't like about it all, and then ask the board to come to a decision on what to move ahead with, and then get a proposal from those vendors on pricing and implementation. So this is not going to happen overnight. I would think by the end of this year, we should have selected and be ready to move into the implementation stage of a new package for the IJA, which would be comprehensive and modern and solve a lot of problems for us. So that's the news, and it all just happened today, and we thank our donor for his generosity in helping the IJA come into the 1990s. Just kidding.
And I forwarded that email to you and David and Martin as soon as I read it, so I knew you would be excited. I was excited.
Yeah, it's something I don't think we could have done or gotten the board to approve without the donor's support, so we're very happy to have it.
Yes, very much. Any questions about the website team? Okay, thank you, Mike. Memberships, Marilyn Sullivan sent her numbers, records 1277, members are 1,531, and so on. That was included in the agenda for tonight. I'm going to skip education since both Kevin and Aaron are not here. And we've been trying to have a meeting, the three of us, the night before the regular board meetings, but we were not able to meet last night. So because of that, we really don't have a report anyway. Marketing and promotions, Tom.
Yeah, I don't really have a whole lot to report. I made a post the other day about the World Juggling Day thing, which I think is really the big thing coming up on our radar. Because that's what is that? It's about 5 weeks away, and there hasn't really been a whole lot done. And I would like to try and get finances approved for these shirts, if that's at all possible. I made a post on Board Plus with financial breakdown. I don't have the numbers ahead of me exactly, but it's it's 500 and something, it's just shy of $600 to have these shirts made. I was at Flatland this past weekend, and there was an individual there who was interested in sponsoring part of it. I'm not entirely sure how much money that would be, but it would take some of the financial burden off of us there. I'll say I'm fairly confident that these will pay for themselves, maybe not immediately, but somewhat quickly, especially because they don't have an expiration date on them. But we can talk about that later. I think there's a motion on the agenda tonight for that. Other than that, that's really the big thing. I'm trying to get some stuff figured out, and we'll put all of the information up on the World Juggling Day site. And again, I apologize, I'm sort of behind on this if you're having some stuff going on. That's really where we are there, I think. Kevin is sending out all of the prizes from the tutorial contest this week, I believe. Kevin, confirm, maybe?
They're about halfway done. There might be a few bleeding over into next week, but yep, getting through them. I still need addresses for a couple of people, so I'll email you after the call.
Yeah, cool. That's great. There was a little bit of a delay because I don't know, some of the stuff from Central and South America was taking a little while to get here. So that's part of the reason for the delay.
And then it showed up the week before my actuarial exam.
Yeah. I've had a couple of emails asking, you know, where stuff is, but, you know, I've been handling all of that in a courteous and professional manner. So I think that's really it. I sent Niels an email today. I think I CC'd everybody on that.
I saw that.
Yeah, about it. The text for the text in Cascada. Because I think that, I mean, that text is a little bit outdated in some regards, and I'm going to come up with something flashier, and I'll send it to everybody, and I mean, if nobody objects, I think we should get that pushed through pretty quickly. So that's about it. I don't know if anybody has any questions or comments or concerns or compliments or
or what. Question.
Yeah.
This is Martin. How much of a donation or donations do you expect you might be able to solicit from, you know, I think you said one vendor at least, to cover this estimated $500 or $600 in shirts?
I would guess around $150. That's a total conjecture on my part. That's just knowing this individual on a very personal level. I think it's the kind of thing that we can also use some YEP funding for, because it is overhead for a YEP-related fundraiser. I think Aaron was talking to Holly about that. So
he's saying you could use some YEP money to make the T-shirts?
Yeah, because it's a YEP fundraiser as a whole.
Okay.
Yeah. So, again, I mean,
YEP fundraiser?
That's correct. We're trying to do World Juggling Day this year is going to be a fundraiser for the youth education program. All of the money made, you know, that's generated by these shirts will go towards YEP.
Okay, you showed about 60 shirts on my, I think four different sizes, a total of 60 shirts. Is that correct?
That is correct. That's what I posted on Board Plus.
And you're talking about selling them at $20 each for a total.
Exactly, which is, yeah. And they cost, what is it, like $9.70 a unit? So if you call it $20 a shirt, $5 shipping, and a box that says, you know, on top of this, I would like to donate X, you know, to the youth education program. I mean, we're going to make it very, very clear, abundantly clear, that these are a fundraiser. This is a fundraising effort. I have a paragraph. What's that?
Are these going to be sold through the IJ store?
That is correct, yes.
We normally add shipping charges to that.
Can you repeat that? I didn't hear that.
We normally add shipping charges for
the
buyer pays shipping as well. But we still have to have somebody who actually ships these. Are you going to be doing the shipping, or is
I would
doing
have
that?
I would have these delivered to Kevin's. I'm moving in like 3 weeks to Philadelphia, so I don't have an address.
Okay, so Kevin, are you okay with handling shipping of up to 60 shirts?
Yes, Tom and I have discussed this before, so
okay,
I'm set.
Okay, good. In the past,
the only question is, he talks about putting a box that says "Donate this in an edition." Is it possible to do that in the store?
That says what?
Tom was talking about adding a box to an item for getting an extra donation with it, but I don't know if that's possible in our store.
Sure. Basically, you set up a box that increases the price of the current item by an arbitrary amount, $5, $10, whatever you want to set up. And, you know, it's the way we sell
just do it as an option?
Yeah, just like we sell multi-year memberships. So that's you only have a, you know, selected number of those that you can add. I don't know if you can add an arbitrary amount.
I was thinking, too, like the way that I believe the mobile mini circus donations are set up, it's we just have an item that is like MMCC donation, $1, and then you just say how many of those $1 donations you want to make.
That's a separate item, though, and so I don't know that you can add an arbitrary quantity of an add-on to a shirt item.
Okay, yeah. Well, I mean, either way, this is a problem that I feel like we can solve pretty handily. So,
I mean, you can always create a link in the page that links the buyer to a donation page for this particular thing and that arbitrary donation amount. But you can't.
Yeah, I'd want it all on the same page so just people can, you know, impulsively write in the number and then pull the trigger. So, you know, if we just say, you know, like $5, $10, $20, $100 or something like that, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like that's a good way to go. But, yeah, I have some copy written up that basically describes, you know, like why we're – changing World Juggling Day to be focused on YEP, because I mean there is sort of a World Juggling Day, I don't know if a mission statement exactly, but it's a phrase that we've had on all of the World Juggling Day stuff before. It's, you know, jugglers coming together and spreading the love of juggling or something like that. I don't have it in front of me exactly, and you know it sort of describes like why this fulfills that mission statement better than just a big raffle donation thing. And I sent out emails to all of the members of the vendor discount program that also kind of plugged the possibility of supporting this event. And so far, I only have one individual that is interested, but I did also only send these emails out, 20 hours ago. So we'll see.
Hey, in general, in the past, we have not sold very many World Juggling Day shirts. We have taken a loss.
Yeah.
Paying them away and stuff like that.
And
maybe the fact that it's a fundraiser will encourage more people to buy.
Yeah, that's what I'm hoping. And this, These are a totally different animal than what we've had before. This is, it's an American Apparel shirt, so it's a very nice T-shirt. It's not a box cut shirt like we've had in the past. It's just a clean IJ logo on the front. It doesn't have a date, doesn't have anything. It's similar to one of the shirts that I think we had them in the, mm-hmm. in the 80s. It was a yellow shirt that just had the IJ logo big across the chest. So I mean, it's just a slick shirt that has the IJ logo on it. I mean, we don't really have any generic IJ merchandise in the store either. And I know that there has been some demand. When I first came to the board, a couple of people approached me about this one shirt specifically. So, I mean, I don't have any doubts that it'll sell. And if it doesn't sell immediately, then you know they're not going to rot in the store like last year's World Juggling Day shirt. I think we're just giving those away to the raffle now. I'd be surprised if we're actually selling any of those, you know, the globe juggling.
Does
World Juggling Day on it? No, it doesn't have it. All it is the IJ logo. That's it.
Okay, so it's a World, you're calling it a World Juggling Day shirt, but it's really just an IJA shirt.
It's an IJA shirt that is being, it's being released on World Juggling Day as part of a tie-in for the fundraiser, yes.
Good. Okay.
Hey, Tom?
So, yes.
You might want to revise the quantities for each size. The fastest selling shirt last year, I believe, was the double extra large, of which you're ordering zero.
Really? No way. Okay, yeah.
Dude, Americans are fat. Okay.
I dig it. I feel like this shirt is going to sell better with the younger demographic, too. So, we can totally throw up some double XLs. I think those are a little bit more, so it'll change the final quote. But I mean, if I can get some kind of a working budget voted in today, that would make things good. And I was thinking we can open this up for pre-orders too on the website once I have a proof made, which should make life a little easier too, budget-wise. It'll make us breathe a little easier. So
the other thing, Tom, I saw in your post. You're planning on going with Broken Arrowware, is that right?
Yeah, that's the plan.
Yeah, the nice thing about them is even if we run out of shirts, for anyone on the board that doesn't know this, they don't have a minimum. If we need extra shirts later on, we can always restock.
Yeah, totally. With these shirts, with this thing, it's a minimum order of six, which is like nothing. But the unit price, you know, there is like a bulk discount. So if we wind up having to make another run of these, you know, and we're just ordering 15, I mean, the profit margin would be, I'm hesitant to use the word profit margin, you know, because this is a fundraiser thing, but we wouldn't be making very much as a result. But, you know, people would be happy. So yeah, that's that.
Any other questions for Tom? All right. If not, we'll move into motions for this evening. Motion A, we need a motion to approve the cost of shipping original goods to the archives with expenses to be taken from the archive fund. We need a formal motion to be made on that. Someone to make that motion?
I'll make the motion, Tom.
Okay, Tom made the motion. We need a second, please.
Seconded is Matt.
Thank you, Matt. And discussion, just so it's part of the record, we did straw poll on this and had four affirmative votes to go ahead with this because there was a time constraint for the person who had them sitting in their living room. So is there any other discussion of this? If not, we'll go to the vote. Is anyone opposed to the motion of the shipping costs for the archive videos? Any abstentions? Alrighty, the motion passes.
Question. I'm sorry, did that motion specify that this would be paid out of the archives fund?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Motion to approve cost of shipping original videos to archives with expenses to be taken from the archive fund. Is that okay, Martin?
Perfect.
Okay. Item B for this evening is a motion to approve the plan as outlined in Attachment A to begin the magazine contract bid process. Can we have a motion for this, please, so we can discuss it?
I'll move. This is Tom.
Okay, thank you, Tom. Do we have someone to make the second?
I'll second. This is Richard.
Thank you, Richard. And discussion. I just put this together based on some research I did and some talking I did with other organizations who have been in our situation, just to get the process going. So I don't know if everyone had a chance to really read through it. But I'm open to suggestion on this.
I didn't really have a good chance to read through it all, you know, look through it with a fine-tooth comb. But, I mean, what I saw, I think, is a good start. I mean, if all we're doing is talking about trying to get some bids, I don't think it hurts to start looking around.
Yeah, and that's all this is to get a bid process in place to advertise. Just to run through the attachment very quickly, June 1st, we would advertise the call for bids for the IJA magazine on the forum, Facebook, the June newsletter. And I just suggested that the call for bids read as, quote, the IJA Board of Directors is seeking bids for the IJA magazine. The contract for such magazine is to begin on January 1st, 2012. Length of contract is negotiable. Interested parties are to email board@juggle.org to receive the complete bid packet no later than July 1st, 2011. On July 15th, we would put out a second call for bids, just to remind people, you know, about 2 weeks later that we have a call out for bids, get them in, you know, get the request in. July 1st, all bid packet requests must be made by July 1st, by the end of the day, and an announcement to that fact would be made on the forum, on Facebook, and in the newsletter that the deadline has already been met and passed. July 20th would be the deadline for actual bids to be submitted. And then August and September 2011 would be discussion time for the board to discuss and decide whether they're going to accept a bid and go to the contract negotiation part or whether they're going to go back and call for more bids. And then I put in there October of 2011 being the target date for magazine contract approval. Our contract is up as of December 31st of 2011. So that was the timeline I came up with, and then just a very, very basic bid form, the bidder's name, address, city, state, all that stuff, as well as asking for information. I gave them bid specifications, which were based on our last two contracts that we've had, listing of subcontractors that this person has worked with and references, so that we can kind of see what they do.
So, question, is Mike still on the line?
Yeah, hi, Kevin.
Hey, do you know how many magazines we mailed in our last mailing?
That would have been in Marilyn's report, I think, last month, which I don't have in front of me.
And those minutes aren't on the website yet.
No, but it should be in the it's in the business part magazines mailed count.
Martin, do you still keep a table of that?
Actually, I've got the winter number. The winter number was 1276.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So I don't know. The 1600 minimum might be a little bit high.
Yeah, I wasn't sure where to go with that, so I was hoping that we could discuss that as well. Currently, we have 1600 magazines printed, and there is in our present contract a clause that if we need to mail more than 1600 magazines, then of course it's a per additional price. So by all means, I'm willing to lower that number.
Looks like we mailed 1,251 in spring.
Mm-hmm. Should we lower that number to 1,400 or 1,500?
I would say 1,300.
Yeah, I'm in agreement.
I agree with that, too.
I only mail 4 or 5 replacement issues per magazine.
Okay.
I mean, we need to be able to buy more if our membership goes up at, you know, a reasonable price. And certainly we don't need to stock hundreds of extras. We usually do, I mean, I think Alan Howard has been holding on to, I don't know how many, 50 or some number for archival purposes.
Yeah.
I get about 200 each printing. So probably 50 for archive?
Yeah, 50 for him and 200 for you.
All right. You know, it is only part of the bid process, so it's just to give them an idea of how, you know, whoever's planning on bidding, an idea of how many magazines we would need. It's not written in stone until we get to the contract phase of everything. So, yeah, I have no problem with changing that. Are there any other suggestions? Anything else you want to see changed? Anything you don't agree with?
I think it looks good. I am a little curious how exactly we go about approaching possible printers, possible vendors for this.
Well,
I mean, do we have like a press kit that we send out, or what? How does that?
I'll be honest with you. This is the most formal bid process for the magazine that we will be using if it's
okay.
Voted in since I've
sure.
been on the board. The closest we got was not this current contract, but the contract before. Sandy Brown and I worked on that one, and we physically went out and cold called 3 or 4 different publishing companies and
okay.
said, here's who we are, here's what we need, here's what we currently have. And they... one out of those 4 companies we contacted came back with an actual bid.
Sure.
Rodale Press, who publishes Runner's World, came right out and told us, you know, we're too small for them. We'd never be able to afford them. And a couple other companies said that as well. The company that did bid was over, I don't want to misquote, it was way out of our price range, let's put it that way. I want to say it was a 6-figure quote.
Wow.
So, yeah, it was nuts. But I want it, we just need a little more structure to the whole process. Even last year when Anthony was working, or 2 years ago when Anthony worked on this current contract, he approached publishers. No one really came to us.
Okay. Cool. Yeah, I was just curious how that works.
Yeah.
My 2 cents is that you've certainly, I think, formalized the process in a nice way, and I think that's cool. It'll allow us to hopefully pick and choose between a couple vendors at least, and then we got to decide. What I see coming is still a discussion about whether or not this organization can even viably have a magazine.
Right.
Certainly. You know, that's what I've been talking to people about when I've been at festivals, both here in the United States and abroad, and asking people, so, hey, what can the IGA give you? everybody I talk to abroad could give an absolute crap about the magazine. They don't want it. What I keep hearing is membership dues too high. Membership dues too high. Festival too expensive. So until at least I hear answers to solve those problems and those questions, you know, I gotta consider the fact that maybe we don't have a magazine for financial reasons, and that's probably how I'll vote.
And it could well come to that. My purpose with suggesting this is that we at least start the process, since we're less than a year away. And then if we decide not to do it, or if we decide to go digital and try it that way, or decide to try a combination of the two, so be it. But, you know, at least we have something in place. So.
No, I agree with you. I'm agreeing with you. And
right.
Certainly this process, this attachment, this motion is something I support.
Okay.
But I'm kind of talking that discussion in October, that discussion
right.
in August. That's kind of what I'm already looking ahead to. Did you all get the forwarded Elsa Kent's email that I sent?
Well,
what was that, Matt? I lost you.
Did you guys receive the forwarded copy of Elsa Kent's?
Oh, yes. Yes. That was very impressive.
Tom, Kevin, did you guys get that?
Yes, I did. Tom.
Wait, what was it?
It was forwarded to Board, and I think Board Plus, actually, a week or two ago. It's an email with the current issue of Elsa Kent, the digital magazine from Argentina and Chile, the digital magazine.
Oh, yes.
Okay, cool. Just wanted y'all to look it over. I have contact with the guys who put that out, so if it's something that later on we want to talk about, that's fine. We have an in there. We can talk to them and find out more details in terms of money and production and so forth. But I just wanted to make sure people got it.
Yeah, Matt, I have to say that I do agree with you on everything that you were saying about, I guess, the future of the magazine in terms of print versus digital. I guess, you know, this is getting into the conversation we're going to have later on in the year, but I am fully in support of going digital at some point, but I don't think that our infrastructure could currently hold it to handle it without, like, a complete overhaul, you know, on our website. I think that might be a bad move. I mean, that's another conversation for another time. But.
Well, and just so you're all aware of this, I did put in, as part of the printing bid specifications, I don't maybe you missed it, include pricing for print only, e-zine only, and a combination of the two. So I've asked whoever is interested in putting in a bid that they give us pricing for all three scenarios at this point.
Sure.
Assuming they offer those services, yes?
Yes. Yes. So, and Alan Howard did email me because he saw that I just got an iPad, and I sent information to all the board members that Magic Magazine now has an iPad app where you get your magazine through your iPad.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a little different thing for those of you that might have it. But
I just want to make one comment here, which I've made from time to time, but that is that going digital isn't going to save us much money. I mean, it's going to cause a lot of extra effort initially, but
right.
Even aside from that, all it's going to save us is postage and printing.
Well,
a fairly low portion, maybe a fifth or a eighth of the total cost.
I think that is a valid point, but there are ways to go entirely digital without having to, because layout is our biggest, one of the biggest expenses right now. And
the biggest expense is writing, authoring and layout and editing. Those are the three big expenses.
Sure. But it is possible to go entirely digital and just scratch layout entirely. Like if we don't actually produce like a downloadable file. It's possible to do something like, you even look at like a lot of news websites where you just log in and you get to see stuff. That's stripped of layout almost entirely from the magazine, like print magazine standpoint, which is one of the most expensive things. So we would wind up saving a significant amount of money if we did it that way. But again, this is a conversation for another time, I think. So.
Yeah, and this is something that we can actually talk about even on the forums,
right.
And put the ideas out there and start, you know, looking at our different options, even with this call going out, you know, our call for bids. So, you know, let's start discussing it just so we're not waiting until the last minute. That's part of the reason I want to start the bid process now, so that when we're all in Rochester in July, we can have some, you know, hard numbers in front of us, and we can sit down and actually talk face-to-face about, do we do this, do we do that, do we go in a totally different direction?
Right.
But we can't. It's never too soon to start.
No, good stuff.
Hey, Kim?
Yes.
So is this vote for actually approving exactly all of the wording that's in the bid, or can we clean up some of the wording in the bid after we approve it?
We can clean up wording in the bid afterwards. It's to begin the magazine bid process is the way I have the motion worded. It does say as outlined in Attachment A, but, you know, if we find that there's something wrong later on or something we want to make changes to, you know, I see no reason why we can't make a change.
Kim, can we add a mimeograph option? that's kind of an inside joke between Kim and myself. They were posting on my wall today on Facebook and stuff. Sorry, guys.
I think you have to get the mimeograph machine back from the 1965 IGA president who took it.
I still have one in my school classroom.
Oh, my God.
Whoa.
Let's just go old school, man. Just make it like crazy, like two-page e-zine, like a zine, like an old school,
yeah.
Like Thrasher magazine.
Yeah, that would be awesome.
Yeah, vintage and retro is in these days, right?
Total retro. Total vintage.
Yeah.
Like handwritten copy. We'll just use like notebook paper.
Yeah. Part of the new lo-fi movement.
Should I go to the local monastery down the street and get them to write it out for us?
I know. Yeah. I'm sorry. I took us off topic. Sorry about that.
That's okay. Are there any more questions or discussion on putting out the magazine contract bid process?
I think it's prudent for us to look around and try and find someone that can suit our needs, but I think we should also keep an open mind for the future.
Yes, definitely. Definitely. All right, if there's nothing else then, let's go to the vote. Is there anyone opposed to the motion to approve the plan as outlined in Attachment A to begin the magazine contract bid process? Any abstentions? The motion passes. And item C, which was a last-minute addition earlier today that Tom asked about, and Tom, please change this. I just threw wording in. Motion to approve up to $600 for World Juggling Day shirts.
I would like to change that to $650 because I don't know how. I know that adding XXL shirts is going to change it. I would be surprised if we wind up actually meeting $650, but
that's
for peace of mind. Yeah.
And should we also change it from World Juggling Day shirts to IJA shirts to be used for World Juggling Day?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, I think these are all synonymous here. It's just sort of a pedantic change there.
Okay.
But yeah, no, that's fine.
Okay.
Yeah, that are IJA shirts for use on World Juggling Day Youth Education Program fundraiser, if we want to be really specific.
Oh. Okay, I like that.
Yeah.
So we have a motion to approve up to $650 for IJA shirts for use on World Juggling Day Youth fundraiser.
Yeah.
Tom, would you like to make that motion?
I would love to make that motion. Let's make that motion.
Okay. Do we have a second, please?
Also, second. Matt. Oh, sorry.
Who's Richard?
Okay, Richard and Matt seconded. Do we have any discussion?
This is, I'm not entirely sure the formalities of how this works precisely, because I'm not entirely sure where the money is going to be coming from in terms of the accounts, because I can say with some confidence that we'll be getting at least one donation to help cover some of these costs, help offset some of these costs. And Erin also indicated to me that she was going to look through her budgets with the youth education program to see how much they'd be able to offer out of that account to offset the costs too. So I'm not really sure how the accounting magic is going to happen. I just want to be clear about that. You know, I have no promises that this money is not going to come out of, or ultimately going to come out of general, I guess. And I think that should be clear.
Go ahead, Kevin.
So, Tom, probably the simplest explanation is if we have to pay by debit card, contact Kim, and she'll take care of the debit card, and then we'll organize it to whatever account it actually needs to come from.
Okay, great. I guess I'm not so well versed with the dark financial underbelly.
And Tom, I've been keeping track of the payouts through YEP because all of the time cards come through me, and I'm sure that if the person making the donation is throwing in $100, $150, that we have, I'm 90% sure that we have that money in YEP yet. To cover.
Okay, that's reassuring. I'm sure that if we approve, we're going to come up gracefully under budget. So that's all I have to say about that, I guess.
Okay, then we'll go to a vote. Anyone opposed to the motion to approve up to $650 for IJA shirts for use on World Juggling Day YEP fundraiser? Any abstentions? All right, the motion carries. Over, Tom.
All right, totally fine one.
I tell you that.
I've always wanted an IJ shirt, dude. I'm stoked.
I'll have one too. Yeah, actually, I may have a few more.
But when you guys go to buy those on the website, don't forget to pick up your 2010 DVDs. Hint, hint.
Hint, hint.
Oh my God. These guys were going crazy on me.
Yeah,
they were all emailing me like, "Why did I get mine?" And I, of course, I had to work my Japanese magic and say, "Actually, it wasn't included." And blah blah blah.
Yeah, actually,
I learned a new verb. I learned a new verb: the economic verb included. Not like there's verbs for include, like to include somebody in a party or in a group, and then there's the verb literally like batteries not included. I had to learn that verb so I could talk to these guys.
Actually, Matt, it's. Good you point that out, because I did receive an email from someone from Japan about it and tried to write as clear of English as possible, but who knows if I conveyed it.
If you want to forward it to me, fine, but I pretty much talked to all the guys that complained about it that I know of.
Okay, sounds good.
Alrighty, do we have anything for Varia tonight?
I do.
Good.
But
I would like to announce the youth jugglerships for 2011. We had four individuals who were nominated and expressed interest in coming to the IJA Fest through the youth jugglership program. And I heard back from most people I contacted and asked for their input as far as being a committee to respond and vote on this. My original thought, since I do sponsor the IJA Youth Jugglerships, was to only hand out three awards this year. But we had four young men who came forward and seem like they're seems like they really deserve these youth jugglerships. So I am giving four youth jugglerships out this year.
Zach Wagoner, 15 years old, from Austin, Texas. Nathan Lane, also 15. And I'm sorry, I don't know where I don't remember where Nathan's from. So I apologize for that. Kellen Quinn Hentoff Killian from Florissant, Missouri. He's 14 years old. I think it's a he.
Yeah, he's the man.
Thank
he's
you.
Awesome.
Okay, awesome. And Blake Puckett from Heber Springs, Arkansas, 15 years old. So we have four young men joining us for the IJA Fest for this summer. So watch for their little bios in the newsletter coming up this May.
Okay, they are writing an essay as part of their thing,
yes.
Is that correct?
Yes, I'm having them write an essay so that it can be included in the newsletter as part of the announcement, yep.
Okay, that's great news, thanks.
Yep. So, who else has Varia tonight? Anyone?
I sure have some Varia for tonight. Yeah, so this has to do with the regional competition that we're having in Guadalajara in, what is it, like 3 weeks? Yeah, it's like extra soon.
Yeah,
the medals are being delivered to Aaron. I got a UPS tracking number. Those are coming in, I think, on Monday or Tuesday. The digital mock-ups that I got makes them look, sweet. So I'm pretty jazzed about that. I sent an email to Aaron, Kevin, and you, Mr. Hall.
Yes, sir. About the homework, yeah.
The homework. Yeah, I know this is the first major international thing that the IJA has done, and at least in recent history. And I think that we definitely need to have a major article in Juggle Magazine about this,
mm-hmm.
which I think that's, smart. I sent an email out with a whole bunch of questions and sort of topics to keep an eye out for and things to take notes on. For said article. And I don't know, I might make a thread about this on Board Plus or something to see what other people think. So I feel like we need to be as comprehensive as possible and take, 10 times as many notes as necessary for just a regular article, because we could throw out some extra information like on Facebook or in the e-newsletter, like competitor profiles or, hey, what was the food like there? Like kind of fluff pieces that would really kind of capture what it is that we're trying to do here. Because right now, we have a couple of posts on RecDAO. We've got a couple of posts on the forums, and we've got, just text on the main site. So I think that in order to flesh this out in the public's eye, we should go into full reporter mode. I'm going to be mailing Erin a nice-ish camera that I have lying around my house. So she can sort of act as a photojournalist. I don't know if anybody has any thoughts or comments on what else we could do, I guess, sort of after this festival in order to raise awareness of it not just the IJA membership, but also the general juggling membership's eye.
Well, I'm planning on videoing pretty much everything from the minute I get there to the minute I leave. So.
Okay.
The footage won't be perfect or it won't be professional, but we'll definitely have clips that we can use, of course, with Barulho's permission. That'll
sure.
be the first thing I ask is, okay, do you guys have a official videographer? Is it okay if I video
right.
too? I'm sure they'll be like, yeah, no problem. So
cool, yeah.
Videos, I think, are going to be the way to go. Maybe I might even post a video diary every day I'm there.
That would be awesome. That would be
I did something like that for Israel, but I just haven't posted yet. Like, I was filming myself at different points during the Israeli festival. Like, I filmed the whole campsite, the whole, juggling site. So that kind of stuff, yeah. I think that's
awesome.
What you're looking for, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I think this is important for publicity as well as for, archival purposes. And if you make sort of a video diary kind of thing, we can throw that on the IJA's YouTube page and, have it out there for the world to see, so.
Yeah, exactly. Well, then that's what I'll do. I commit to that.
Sweet. Cool. So, yeah, I'll make the post with, I guess, the topics that I sent out via email so other people can sort of pick through it. you know, not to give you guys more work on your vacation. But I think it'd be pretty important, so.
Yeah, no, it's going to be good. Can't wait. I'm totally not ready.
Okay, and while we're on the topic of the event in Guadalajara, I have been in touch with Dale Wittick concerning insurance for the event,
yep,
so that the IJ is covered. And I still have not gotten final word, but all indications are that our current insurance policy says that we are covered for all IJA-sponsored events. It's not exactly the wording that's in there, but the wording that he pointed out to me is that's what it means. It's if the IJA sponsors it, we're covered. So his indication at this point is that our current insurance for our festival and what we do is going to be able to cover us for the Guadalajara event. It's just if anyone does, if anything does happen and they decide to come after the IJA, they would need to file here in the United States. So that's the way that would work as of right now. So I'm going to push Dale to get a final answer on that by early next week at the absolute latest. All right, anything else for Varia? If not, let's look toward our next meeting in June. Yay. The third Wednesday in June is actually June 15th. Is that bad for anyone?
I'm good.
I have no idea. No.
Okay, let's say it's June 15th, unless we hear... If it becomes bad for too many of us, we will, you know, make other arrangements. Kevin Macbeth, is 8:15 still better for you? 8:15 Eastern?
Yeah, it will be in perpetuity.
Okay. All right, so we'll make it June 15th at 8:15 p.m. Eastern time. And the only other thing we have left to do is a motion to adjourn.
Motion to adjourn, Matt.
Thank you, Matt. I was afraid no one wanted to leave. And we need a second, please.
I'll second. This is Tom.
Thanks, Tom. And is there anyone opposed to adjournment? Any abstentions? If not, the meeting is adjourned at 9:36 p.m. Eastern time. All right, gang. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Good night.
Have a good night. Bye-bye.
Good night, y'all.